welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, the host of the show, and I'm very excited to be back with our third format of the show. It's a short version of the podcast that we can release in between regular episodes of the show and the home games, where it's just the listeners versus the podcast to see how many points you can get. No prizes or ranks, just a quick mini game to satisfy the nostalgic itch for the pop culture of Generation X. We will also use this time to solve power struggles from previous episodes, as well as giving you a chance to save Generation X from being forgotten in a special guest host segment of the show. To refresh your memory, here is the power struggle we're going to be solving at the end of this episode.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
Can you and I be friends?
Yeah.
I really enjoy talking to people.
Here he is, ready to pay the price for our home audience. In person, the Butcher of Bakersfield!
Do you remember where these five Generation X clips are from? Stay tuned to hear the answers at the end of the show. But for now, let's get right to the game that we call Who Will Save Generation X? Challenging Stage. Here's how the game works. We will have three fast-paced rounds of games to play and score points. In round three, we'll have a special guest host take over the show and quiz me for five questions. If you can get more of them correct than I can, then you are invited to use our website answering machine system to mock me endlessly.
I wouldn't give a squirt of piss for your ass right now.
Or better yet, use that answering machine to call in and take over as host for a moment and ask me the trivia questions that can be used on an upcoming episode of the show. Just go on our website and click on that blue microphone icon and leave us five trivia questions. It's 100% free to use. It can be accessed from any device that has an internet connection and a microphone, and we would love to hear your voice on the show. That website is whowillsavegenx.com. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's get going and save Generation X from being forgotten.
Round one.
Round one today is one of our newer games, and it's called The Audience is Listening. In this game, I'll play a piece of music, and you need to tell me what specific movie is featured in. After I play the track, there will be a clue for you to help you. But each clue that you use will... Oh my gosh, again? Judges, please, thank you. That's enough. We got it. Intro is cool. As I was saying, in this game, I'll play a piece of music, and you need to tell me what specific movie it is featured in. After I play the track, there will be a clue to help you, but for each clue you use to come up with your answer, the question will be worth fewer points. For example, if you get it after clue one, then it's worth 3 points. Two clues is worth 2 points, and if you need all three clues, then it'll be worth only 1 point. However, if you can get the correct movie title with no clues at all, you'll be awarded a whopping 4 points for this question. Here's song number one. Listen up. This is your first piece of music. Tell me what movie this song is from. Number one for 3 points. The movie was a big hit in 1982. It was rated R, and the website IMDb calls it an action comedy crime movie. Clue number two. Supporting cast members include Annette O'Toole. An uncredited Fritz Ford played the role of Torchy's bar patron, and Gary Pettinger played the role of cop with gun, opposed to all those other cops, I suppose. And here's clue three for 1 point. Starring roles features first-time movie star Eddie Murphy. The song is The Boys Are Back in Town by The Bus Boys, and it was featured in the movie 48 Hours. Fun fact, the song was written specifically for the movie 48 Hours and was originally thought of as a filler song by the band who recorded it late at night and was just ready for bed. The song went on to be the biggest hit for the band, the Busboys, but it was not released to the public for nearly 20 years. Some say due to the title being the same as the song by Thin Lizzy. Songwriter Brian O'Neill says that their song had no influence over his, and it was just a coincidence that they shared the same title. He declared that, quote, "For almost 20 years, it was probably the most famous song in the history of America that had never been released." The movie was a big hit and had the seventh biggest box office of the year in 1982. You know, if an 80s movie had any financial success, then an inferior sequel would have to be made. And in 1990, they did just that with the release of Another 48 Hours. At least you think with Another 48 Hours being a bomb that they would not reboot the franchise in the 2020s and would just leave our Gen X movies alone. Nope. A reboot is in the works as we speak and will be here before you know it. Highly doubtful that I will go see it as I don't like to support these kinds of reboots. But I might change my mind if they decide to title the movie Another 48 Hours. Here's your second piece of music. It's pretty iconic. Here we go. Tell me what movie this song is from. Here's clue number one for 3 points. The movie was also from 1982, and it was also rated R, and IMDb calls it a romantic drama movie. The title might make you think it's a double feature, but it's not. Clue number two, supporting cast members include David Caruso, the recently departed Louis Gossett Jr., RIP, and Ed Begley Jr. as the voice of the altitude chamber instructor. If that last clue didn't give it away, here's clue number three for 1 point. Starring roles feature Deborah Winger and Richard Gere as Zach Mayo. The song is Up Where We Belong, sung by Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warnes, and it was featured in the movie An Officer and a Gentleman. The fun fact here is Up Where We Belong reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart and won numerous awards, including an Academy Award for Best Original Song in 1983. Singer-songwriter Jennifer Warnes was already having a very successful career when she wrote the song, but had never met veteran musical star and duet partner Joe Cocker. Because of this, some music executives were confused why Cocker would want to perform a romantic duet with Warnes, reportedly prompting one to say, "Cocker? He never even met her." Oh boy. Song three. Here's your last piece of music. If you didn't like the last song in this round, then you're really not going to like this next one. Tell me what movie this song is from. Number one for 3 points. The movie is from 1988. It was rated R, and IMDb calls it a comedy drama romance film. Clue number two for 2 points. Supporting cast members include Gina Gershon, Kelly Lynch, and also Shelley Markovich in the role of bar patron. And finally, clue three for 1 point. Starring roles feature the great Elizabeth Shue and Brian Brown, a.k.a. Kmart brand Michael Caine. The song is Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin, and it was featured in the movie called Cocktail. Did I say cock a little bit too loud on that one? Cocktail is the correct answer. The fun fact here is actress Gina Gershon stated in a podcast interview that during their bed scene, Tom Cruise knew that she was extremely ticklish and tickled her so hard that they both fell off the bed. It was, in fact, the take that they used in the movie. Full disclosure, I've never seen this movie before. It's one of the holes in my Gen X cred. And I was today years old when I found out that Michael Caine is not in this movie, and I've been confusing Brian Brown with Michael Caine all this time. No offense to Brian Brown. He was awesome in that movie, FX, if you remember that movie. But I'm just mad at myself for being so dumb to get him confused with Mr. Michael Caine himself.
If you would please, sir, could you say your first and last name?
Michael Caine.
All I heard was my cocaine.
My cocaine, yeah. Round two.
Round two of this episode is our Spotlight Trivia Round. We will dive into one Gen X topic to quiz you on. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points if you know it outright. But if you need a hint or multiple choice, then it is worth only 1 point. I'll ask the questions and then circle back around with the answers at the end of the round. Good luck. The Spotlight topic for this episode is the 70s superhero TV show Wonder Woman. Set in the shadow of World War II, American pilot Major Steve Trevor, played by Lyle Waggoner, teams up with the powerful superhero Wonder Woman, played by the near equally powerful Linda Carter. The show was part of the live-action superhero push of Generation X. We wanted to see our favorite superheroes jump off the pages of comic books and into our console TVs. Wonder Woman as a TV show had its flaws by today's standards, but in the 70s, we would take just about anything offered as long as it was about a superhero. The cartoon-slash-animated comic book style's opening sequence and one of the funkiest TV theme songs of all time was a recipe for success, and this show delivered for the 3 seasons we were able to watch this groundbreaking TV show. Let's go to the questions.
Question number one.
The series begins with World War II American pilot Steve Trevor being forced to bail out of his plane during a battle and arriving at the home of Wonder Woman on Paradise Island. Your question is, where did the battle take place that forced Steve Trevor to bail out of his plane? If you know it right now, you will score 2 points, but if you need the multiple choice options, you will score only 1 point. The 1 point options are A, the Bermuda Triangle, B, an uncharted island near Hawaii, C, over the Atlantic Ocean halfway between England and Spain, D, they never disclosed their location because it was a secret island, after all.
Question number two.
One of the iconic parts of the show was when Diana Prince would transform into Wonder Woman by spinning around, disappearing into a bright explosion of light, and reappearing in her Wonder Woman costume. As memorable as that was, the best episodes was when she would reappear in an alternate Wonder Woman costume that was required to complete a specific challenge ahead of her. Here's your specific challenge. Which of the following was not one of the alternative costumes worn by Linda Carter on the TV show? Was it A, star-spangled bikini with a high waist to cover her navel? B, a motocross outfit with a helmet and goggles? C, a blue wetsuit with red boots instead of fins? Or is it D, a skateboarding outfit with elbow and knee pads, as well as red boots with 3-inch heels? 2 points will be added to your score if you know it right now. But if you need the hint, you will score only 1 point. Your hint is, they made all 4 of these outfits for the show, but one of them kept causing wardrobe malfunctions, so they needed to make other arrangements.
Question number 3.
One of the things that made Wonder Woman so impressive for its day was the representation of women performing stunts themselves instead of men dressing up to look the part. The show featured elaborate stunts in every episode, and Linda Carter had the best stunt double in the business in the way of the great and legendary Jeannie Epper. However, Linda Carter did some successful stunt work herself in the show. Which of the following stunt work did Linda Carter do herself in the show? Was it A, hang freehand from the skids of a helicopter as it flew up in the air? B, do a perfect swan dive off the pier at Rancho Palos Verdes in California? C, skateboard down the streets of Fullerton, California at high speeds? D, do wheelies on a dirt bike while chasing down the bad guys? Or is it E, Linda Carter did all of these stunts herself? 2 points if you can name the stunts that were done by the athletic Linda Carter right now, but here are your 1 point hit option to consider. The scene required a close-up, and it was obvious in the shot that it was a stunt double. So before they lost their light, Linda Carter convinced the camera crew to do another take with her replacing her stunt double, Jeannie Epper, while the producers were not watching. It was rushed, unsupervised, and she did not use any safety equipment. So your hint is, it's the option where she's not wearing any safety equipment in the scene. If you think back to the previous question, it might help you answer this one.
Question number 4.
Which of the following was not a villain in the Wonder Woman TV series? Was it A, the Falcon, a high-priced Irish mercenary who sought to steal scientific research for tectonic manipulation but unwittingly carried bubonic plague? B, Takedo Ishida, a powerful telepath with a grudge against Wonder Woman for failing to save his brother in Japan during World War II? C. Silas Lockhart, a land developer who abducts a trained dolphin and uses it to sink an oil tanker, which will lower beachfront property values. D. A chimpanzee named Tobias, who was injected with super soldier serum and became indestructible and immortal. Or is it E. Wonder Woman's love interest, Steve Trevor's secretary, Marcia? If you can name which one of these was not a villain to Wonder Woman, then you will get 2 points right now. But here's your 1 point hint. The hint is, well, let's just say the correct answer insinuates a BJ is somehow involved as to why it's the one to pick. I'll let you think about that one.
And finally, question number 5.
As we mentioned, this show had an amazing theme song. It's cheesy and dated in the most spectacular way and really grabs the feels of the late 70s. I absolutely love it. In the theme song, they reference several iconic symbols, powers, and associations of Wonder Woman. Your question is, which of the following is not an actual verse in the lyrics to the theme song for Wonder Woman? Is it A, In Your Satin Tights, Fighting for Your Rights, and the Old Red, White, and Blue? B, Make a Hawk a Dove, Stop a War with Love, Make a Liar Tell the Truth? C, Stop a Bullet Cold, Make the Axis Fold, Change Their Minds and Change the World? Or is it D, Stopping Hitler's Threat with Your Invisible Jet, You're a Wonder, Wonder Woman? 2 points if you can remember it right now. But for 1 point, here's your super vague hint that may not help anyone. The verses mention her star-spangly outfit, which is weird considering where she's from. Her magic lasso, which forces those who are tied up in it to tell the truth. More on that later. Stop a Bullet Cold is a reference to her bulletproof wrist cuffs. And lastly, there's a mention to her invisible jet. Your 1 point hint is that out of all of these unusual powers, this one is the weirdest. Your miles may vary on that one. Now that you've had a little time to think about the questions, here are the answers. Question 1. Where did the battle take place that forced Steve Trevor to bail out of his plane? The correct answer was option A. Of course it was the Bermuda Triangle. Who could forget all those memorable battles fought off the coast of Puerto Rico and Florida in the 1940s? By the way, shame on us for going 3 years on this Gen X podcast and only now start talking about the Bermuda Triangle. We need to lose some Gen X cred for this oversight, I think. In a related story, our apologies to piranhas and quicksand as topics of things we thought would be a bigger problem growing up. We will get to you just as soon as we can.
Hey, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that's not exactly water,
mm-hmm.
and it ain't exactly earth? Quicksand!
Question 2. Which of the following was not one of the alternate costumes worn by Linda Carter on the TV show? Was it a bikini, a motocross outfit, a wetsuit, or a skateboard outfit? The correct answer is A, a star-spangled bikini. They originally had Linda Carter in a star-spangled bikini, but they had to switch it out for the full-body wetsuit when it became clear that Linda Carter could not perform the action and remain decent on the set. The original costume they made for her included a blue skirt with white stars, but sadly, this skirted costume appeared in only the 1975 pilot film called The New Original Wonder Woman. It's a shame they didn't stick with it, as it is a dead ringer for the character's original look in the 1942 comic book, and it's a much classier look than the booty shorts they made her wear that looked like some sort of blue diaper at times.
I'm beginning to lose my temper with you, Mr. Mariposa, and that's something I haven't done in 500 or 600 years.
Question 3 was, which stunt work did Linda Carter do herself in the show? The correct answer is, once again, option A, hang freehand from the skids of a helicopter as it flew up in the air. This is a pretty famous story about the show. As I mentioned in the hint, the shot required a close-up, and it was clear that stunt double Jeannie Epper was doing the stunt. The crew was losing their light, so Linda Carter convinced the crew to just film her in the show before any of the producers caught wind of what was going on. The stunt required safety wrist cuffs to help keep a firm grip, but Linda was unaware of that little fact and did the stunt freehand. Even her stunt double, Jeannie Epper, was impressed with her work, which is high praise seeing how she is a legend in the business and reportedly still doing stunts well into her 80s. As the story goes, when Linda Carter was done with the stunt, Epper came over and said that today Carter really was Wonder Woman. To which Linda Carter replied, "No, today I'm an Epper. You're an Epper. Wouldn't you like to be an Epper too?" And if you think I made up that last part just to make some lame Dr. Pepper commercial joke, then you're right. And I have no regrets.
There's salutin' peppers, tootin' peppers.
I'm a pepper man.
Would you like to be a pepper too? Be a pepper. Dream like a pepper.
Aye, aye.
Be a pepper.
Question 4 asked, which of the following was not a villain in the Wonder Woman TV series? Believe it or not, all of those options were actual characters in the show, but only the indestructible chimp named Tobias was not a villain on the show. The hint of the BJ being involved is a pretty obvious, seeing how everyone knows that the chimp in Wonder Woman was also one of the chimps to be in the TV show BJ and the Bear. I'm hoping, however, that it's not the chimp from the show that ripped off the face of its owner, a real-life villain move, Tobias. Steve Trevor's secretary Marcia turned out to be a Nazi spy and was clearly a villain, as all Nazis are. Oh, wait a second. When I mentioned the secretary and the clue of a BJ, you guys didn't think I meant... But when I said... And then... But you thought... Oh, man.
Oh, Gilligan.
I was just talking about the crime-fighting trucker TV show, BJ and the Bear.
BJ and the Cake and the Sweatsman Bear.
Come on. Get your mind out of the gutter. This is a family show. Okay, let's go to the final question of the round. Question 5. Which of the following is not an actual verse in the lyrics for the TV theme song for Wonder Woman? The hint for this was what was the weirdest thing about Wonder Woman, and that might have just given it away, as the correct answer was D. Stopping Hitler's threat with your invisible jet, you're a wonder, Wonder Woman. This one might have seemed like a bit of a trick question because you're a wonder, Wonder Woman are actual lyrics, but they are not in any of the actual verses. Sorry if you think that was a little unfair, but here in the show, from time to time, we get a little tricky.
It's tricky! It's tricky, 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 huh?
Okay, lots of fun facts for this one. Of all the gadgets and abilities used by Wonder Woman, her magic lasso and invisible jet were two of the most iconic. Her invisible plane only appears in 2 episodes of the TV series, which is a shame, but the lasso is in every episode. The creator of Wonder Woman, Charles Moulton, was a man with ideas and values way ahead of his time. He was into polyamory and bondage before he was cool, man, way back in the early 1900s. He and his wife took in multiple lovers into their home, and it worked for them in a time where this kind of lifestyle was certainly taboo. In 1941, Charles, his wife Elizabeth, and their partner Olive were all credited with creating Wonder Woman. Charles was also an inventor and created the first ever polygraph lie detector machine that required its subject to be wrapped up in wires and sensors to detect changes in body functions to discern whether they were lying or not. Knowing all this now, it's easy to see how the thruple came up with a story of a single man traveling to a secret island filled with nothing but women who have a magic rope that they enjoy tying men up with in order to have them tell the truth. It's art imitating life all over again. As for the invisible jet, that's just a silly idea all around, and you can draw your own conclusions as to why it is such an impractical thing to have. Still, it's for sure a pop culture reference that is still remembered to this day. In fact, in 2015, the Smithsonian advertised a one-day-only exhibit for guests to come see the actual invisible jet used by Wonder Woman. It was just a large area sectioned off with a sign reading, "Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet, One Day Only, April 1st, 2015. Nice April Fool's Day joke, Smithsonian nerds. Let's move on to round 3.
Round 3.
I'm the guy who normally asks the questions, but in this segment, we're going to turn things around and have one of our listeners ask the questions to see if I can do my part to save Generation X. Our special guest host this segment comes to us from our website answer machine. I have not heard these questions, but let's go to the answer machine and check it out.
Message 1.
Hey, Zed. Matt Osborne here. Got a question for you. Now, we all know that in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, during the oral report part at the end, the jock ends his speech, which was totally incoherent, with San Dimas High School football rules. In what 1995 movie was that phrase also uttered during an oral presentation? It's an easy one. Good luck.
Okay, so of course I remember the Bill and Ted's movie quotes of San Dimas High School football rules. But you're saying that exact quote is put in another movie? In 1995, I can't remember that exact quote. And you put the pressure on by saying this is an easy one. But if you're thinking it's an easy one, you got to be referring to the Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison, where he says another high school football rules. I can't remember the name of that high school specifically. It's like McNabb or something like that. But it's not San Dimas High School. That's my point. I'm going to go with Billy Madison as my answer. But he doesn't say San Dimas High School football rules. It's something else. But that's the only thing coming to mind. So let's go to the answer and see if I'm right. Okay. Seems like there's no answer on the answer machine as to the answer for the question. Matt, thanks so much for leaving a question on the answer machine. Really do appreciate it. But it would have been nice if we had your answer to your question also included. I guess this is a good time to mention to anyone listening out there, if you'd like to participate in the answer machine part of this segment, to please be sure to leave an answer to your question so we can get it correct here on the show. So without having an official answer, judges, close enough? Word, close enough. I got it right.
There needs to be some sort of privilege to being the host on the show, I guess. And that is to declare your question right, even though if you don't know 100%.
So I think that's the right answer, and we're going to go with it. Listeners, if you know the correct answer, please be sure to reach out to us, and we'll correct it on an upcoming episode of The Challenging Stage. All right, that's one question down. Let's go to the next question. Matt, what else you got for me?
End of messages.
Okay, turns out there's only one question on this machine as well. Another good time to point out that five questions is usually what we do for the back end of this guest host segment. But I'm very thankful, once again, that we got at least one question from Matt. Appreciate you taking the time to quiz me on the show. Thank you so much, Matt. Honestly, thank you. But we're going to have to cut this episode short because we have no more questions from a guest host. So I guess this is it for round three.
Nip High Football Rules!
The last segment in the challenging stage is to give the answers to a power struggle from past shows. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Wonder Woman, starring Linda Carter, and Incredible Hulk, starring Bill Bixby, will return at their regular times next Friday evening on most of these stations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you would like to try your hand at guest hosting that last segment and share your trivia knowledge of the fun things of Generation X, then send the judges an email at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com and let's talk about it. Or for faster results, just go to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and leave us a message on our answer machine. Just tap on that blue microphone icon on the lower right part of your screen and leave us a message. It's free to use, and your voice and trivia questions might be used on an upcoming episode, just like we did Matt's. If you want your trivia questions on an upcoming Challenging Stage episode, then please be sure to leave us five questions so we can make a whole episode, and be sure to leave answers. That's very important. Leave the answers, please.
So who's going to save our generation? Are you going to save our generation? Who will save Generation X?
Before we leave, we're going to reveal the answers to a past show's power struggle. In episode 31, Cam versus Donovan. Challenge accepted, brother.
Brother.
We had a power struggle question, and it sounded just like this.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
Can you and I be friends?
Yeah.
I really enjoy talking to people.
Ready to pay the price for our home audience. In person, the Butcher of Bakersfield!
Let's reveal the answers now. Clip one was from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Clip two was from the creepy Teddy Ruxpin storytelling bear doll thing, whatever you call that. Clip three was from the song Physical by the great Olivia Newton-John, R.I.P. Clip four was from the Atari version of Pac-Man. It's a very iconic sound. And finally, clip five was from the great Arnold Schwarzenegger movie The Running Man. We will reveal more Power Struggle answers on future episodes of The Challenging Stage. Before I go, I want to touch on one thing real quick. 6 months ago, I got a little personal on the show and made an announcement that I lost my 30-year career and was now unemployed. Well, the update here is that I have got a new day job and the start of a new career. I'm not going to lie, it was a rough 6 months looking for something that could support my family. And although the new job does not quite pay as well as the old one did, I really do love my new coworkers and I love my new job. And what's really great about it is it affords me a chance to help people who are in need of it. It is a government job, and as such, they made it plain to me that I cannot talk about it specifically or I'd have to kill each and every one of you. No, that's not it at all. But the training did make it clear that I should keep things to myself, and so I will. In any event, I want to say thank you to all the people who emailed the answer machine and who reached out to me personally and gave me their well wishes, all the emails I got, and some friends text messaging and phone calls. It really was very touching, and I'm very thankful for all of you that reached out. It was a very low point in my life, but this community of listeners really picked me up and kept me going. So thank you very much to all of you listeners who reached out with the very kind words. But I couldn't help but notice that not a single email came from any of our British listeners. But I guess they were too busy working, making crumpets and whatnot. I mean, those chimneys aren't going to squeak themselves, right? So I guess I got to give them a pass. But much love to those who kept me and my family in their thoughts during this difficult time, and especially to those who chipped in on Patreon. Your financial support really and truly made a difference and continues to do so. There was a point when that was all the money we had coming into our home. So thanks for keeping food in the fridge and a roof over our heads. I'll be forever grateful. Thank you. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We welcome you to contact us and let us know what you think of the show. Your feedback is always appreciated. And thanks again for checking us out. We welcome you to share this episode with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.